As has been mentioned, this is the second service in our summer youth revival, summer children's revival. And you know, one of the things that children have to do a lot after they're presented with information is they have to take a test, right? We send kids to school, they learn stuff, and then they take a test. So I'm going to give you a little pop quiz here this morning, evening, right? It's evening. Last week, who was the subject of the message? Does anybody call it out? Daniel. Yes, Daniel, thank you for answering that. He remembered that. That's pretty easy for him to remember. All right, now we're going to make it a little tougher. So the message was about Daniel. There were three words that were given to us to remember the message. What were the three words? Believe, bold, and blessing. Very good. You get a gold star for remembering that. So since I only heard one person call that out, I decided that I was going to use the same three words for our message tonight. So next week, if the speaker decides to use the same three words, then hopefully we'll all remember it. Now, we're going to use the same three words, but we're going to look at a different person. The person we're going to look at this evening is Samuel. So open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter number 1. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. As I was preparing this, I was kind of looking at some things about Samuel. And in the back of my mind, I'm also thinking about Daniel, since we just heard a presentation about Daniel. And as I continued to think, there were some things about Samuel and Daniel that made me write on my paper, write on my notes, that they are remarkably similarly different. Let me explain what I mean by that. So we know a bit about Samuel's early upbringing. We are introduced to him and his family before he was born. And then we learn about Samuel as a child and in the early part of his life. And then the Bible does go on and give us some of the highlights of his life through his maturity, through his adulthood. But for Daniel, we don't know a lot about his early life. We're introduced to him as a young man, perhaps a teenager. And so we don't know a lot about his early childhood, but I think it's safe to say that both of these individuals had a strong family teaching. We know for sure that Samuel's mother dealt with him and I'm sure very carefully helped to train him. But we can only assume that Daniel probably had the same thing. Based upon where he was as a teenager, he no doubt had a similar path to getting to that point as a teenager. But they were displaced from their homes. Now, that's a similarity, but it's also very different. Remember, Daniel, he was displaced. He was taken away from his homeland, taken away from his family, essentially as a slave to a foreign power. He was taken from his people, put into a new culture with a new language. It was a dramatic change in his life. Samuel was also displaced from his home, but it was in a different way. His mother presented him at the house of the Lord in Shiloh to Eli, the priest. But he was still displaced from his home. Completely different set of circumstances, but there's that similarity there. He was taken away, given away for Samuel. He was given from his home to a place where he could minister to the Lord. It's a similarity, but it's also at the same time very different. They both had some challenges in their life. They both had obstacles that they had to face. And we'll look at some of those and what they were as we go throughout the message tonight. They both had obstacles, though very different, but they both followed God, and it brought them, we could say, to the same place. These were two incredible figures from the Bible, figures from history, that faced incredible challenges, yet they were able to be victorious because they believed in the Lord. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter number 1, down in verse number 24. The Bible says, "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord," and he worshipped the Lord there. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this time. We can spend a few moments in your word. Pray that you would challenge us all this evening from it. pray that you'd help us to be committed to you in each aspect of our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Samuel believed God. There's that first word, believed. He believed God. Now, in this early part of the chapter, and really as we're introduced to Samuel, we can't say for certain that Samuel was a believer in the way that we would say a person is a believer, and that he had placed his trust in Christ, his faith in him for salvation. However, I think it is very clear that he believed God, looking at the scope of his life. One of the things, however, that definitely pointed him in the right direction is that he had parents, and specifically a mother, that pointed him intentionally to God. During the prayer time, Pastor Boyle mentioned that word specifically. He mentioned the teens being pointed intentionally in a direction. And Hannah, Samuel's mother, intentionally pointed Samuel to God from an early age. There's speculation that the time, the age that Samuel was when he was brought to the house of the Lord, presented there to abide there forever, there's speculation that he was somewhere in the age range of 3 to 10 years old. Now, that's kind of difficult for us to imagine. You know, we know when a parent brings a child to kindergarten for the first time, that is sometimes a traumatic experience for a parent. But imagine if you brought, and teachers imagine this too, imagine if you brought that child to kindergarten and you left them there, not for the day, but just for the week. You know, that would be a strain, I think, on a lot of parents to do that. Certainly be a strain on the teachers, but it would be a strain on the parents to give that child to that teacher for a week. What about for a year? What about forever? And that can be a challenging thing for a parent to do. However, we don't have time to look at all of this tonight, but if you were to read the beginning part of chapter 2, what you would find is that when Hannah presented Samuel to the Lord, when Hannah brought Samuel and left him there at the house of the Lord, when she did so, she didn't do so in a tearful way. I'm sure she was sad, but she was more than being sad. She was overjoyed that she had the privilege and the benefit to be able to give that child back to God. You know, she wasn't trying to hang on with everything that she had. She wasn't trying to keep him for herself. She wasn't trying to hold anything back from the Lord. She was willing and joyful about her sacrifice to the Lord, giving that child back to God. I think it's really incredible if you read chapter 2 just to see the language that is used from Hannah about giving her son that she had prayed for years, giving her son back to the Lord. But she had trained him. She had trained Samuel and pointed him, as I mentioned, intentionally to the Lord. This training was done early. Now, I'm starting to understand the importance and the impact of early training of a child. You know, I have a couple now at my house, and the 2-year-old last night, as I mentioned this to Pastor Boyle earlier today, the 2-year-old last night, Lydia, I was helping her finish up her dinner, and my wife had gone into the other room to feed the baby, and I'm there with Lydia. She's 2 years old, and she says something to me, and I just kind of pause. I'm trying to figure out what exactly she says. It's something she hadn't said before, so I'm trying to think through what did she say, and where did she learn this, and what is she trying to tell me? So she says it again. She could kind of tell I was puzzled. She says it again, and what I caught was she said that somebody ran the wrong way. So that's weird. Did she see something today? Is somebody running today? And so I continued to ask her. I said, well, who ran the wrong way? And she said, Jonah. And she said, Jonah did not obey God. And I'm listening to, I didn't tell her this. I think what I learned is that her mother, my wife, had taught her this. But she learned that Jonah, he went the wrong way because he disobeyed God. Disobeyed God and went the wrong way. So now I'm curious, and I want to know how far did this go. So I asked her. I said, well, what happened to Jonah when she disobeyed God, when he disobeyed God? And she said, a whale got him. And so, you know, we think about these children so young, and there's, you know, young people here in this church this evening, and kids up in Tiny Tots, they're so young. But it's not too early for them to be learning. It's not too early for them to be exposed to God. It's not too early for them to be exposed to the Bible and the lessons that we can learn from it and the stories that we hear from it. It's never too early to be impressing these things into young people. Samuel's training was done early. Psalm 127:4 says, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." And I was thinking about that verse because I like to shoot bows and arrows. And when you shoot a bow and you shoot an arrow, the only reason you shoot an arrow is to hit a target. That's the only reason you would shoot an arrow. If you were to take something, you would take a firearm, or if you were to take a cannon, you might fire something like that just because it's loud, because it's impressive, because it's a unique thing. It's big. It's powerful. There's all of these other elements of those firearms that you might be attracted to. However, when you think about an arrow, you know, the flight of an arrow, it's fast. You can hardly see it. It's also quiet. You can hardly hear it. So the only reason you would shoot an arrow is to hit a target. And God uses in multiple places that comparison between training children and arrows. And an arrow, if it's pointed at something, is going to go that direction. If you're aiming an arrow at a target, it's going to hit that target. And there's that very, very simple but very pointed comparison that God makes to children. They need to be pointed in a specific direction. Now, so this is our children's revival, our youth revival. However, there's one key element that cannot be missed when it comes to children being pointed to the Lord, and that's parents, and that's teachers, that's pastors, even aunts and uncles and grandparents. All of those people are key and instrumental in guiding children to the truth, in guiding young people to the understanding of who God is. You know, Hannah, I think, very successfully accomplished that goal by pointing Samuel to God. We look at his life, we look at some of the things that could have taken him off track, yet he stayed on a true course. He followed God. Hannah specifically pointed him to God, intentionally pointed him to God. But also there's another phrase that we already read in verse 28 that I think is really, really powerful. His parents, and specifically Hannah, lent him to the Lord. Let's reread verse number 28. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 28. It says, "Therefore also, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. Now, I'm going to have Aaron. He's going to help me with something. Can you come up here? Aaron's going to help me with something. The reason Aaron's going to help me with something is because his mom's not here. And also, he lives far away. So if something happens here and Aaron gets upset at me or he gets his feelings hurt, I don't think any of that's going to happen. But if he were to have any of that happen, he's going to go back home to North Carolina and this will be over. So he's also a great sport. I had some interactions with him a year ago and just came away from it saying, you know, that's kind of a neat guy. So I'm going to give you some M&Ms. He says, yay. All right, here you go. You might ask, why am I opening his M&Ms? Because I have a job for you to do with them. Here's your M&Ms. What I want you to do is I want you to put them out on the table so we can see what exactly it is. Dump them out onto the table carefully so they don't go everywhere. So we can see what we got. That's a lot of M&Ms. All right, so these are your M&Ms, right? I gave them to you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to separate them by color. This might take a while, but he's going to separate these by color. It's going to take longer than I thought. I couldn't find a small bag. I went to the store, I was looking for a small bag, and the only size I could find was this share size bag. So he's separating these out. And what we're doing here is we're going to illustrate something. So these are M&Ms that I told him I gave them to him. I gave these M&Ms to Aaron. Now, while he's continuing to very slowly and methodically, you're doing a great job, to separate these M&Ms, let me just remind you of what that phrase said. He said, Hannah said that she lent her son to the Lord. Now, when we think of that word lent or lend, we have a certain idea in mind. And when we think of that, we think, okay, I'm going to give these to you and then you're going to give them back at some point. I'm going to let you use this. I'm going to let you borrow my chainsaw, but I expect you to give it back. This is a different type of word that's used here. Now there's a, I'll just keep that out. I'm gonna need that. Because here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to help you out here. The orange ones, I really like orange, so I'm going to take the orange ones. I hope that's not your favorite color, M&M. Okay. All right, so I'm taking these orange M&Ms. I will eat them later. I might share them with somebody, but I'm going to just keep those here. Those are for me for later. That word lent, it says that Hannah lent Samuel to the Lord. If you look at it, it's a perfect form of that verb. And what it signifies is a completed action, something that occurs one time and then it's done. It's over. It's something that you don't do now. And then maybe later you get it back. It was one time she had given him to the Lord. That was it. It was over. That action was done. All right. Your brother's here. Archie, do you like M&Ms? No. Titus, you like M&Ms. Come on up. Aaron is going to give you an M&M color of his choice. All right, so these are Aaron's M&Ms, right? I gave them to him, and now you can give him a color of your choice, your pick. Which color? Yellow. All right, you get. While Aaron was thinking up here, he was counting the M&Ms and determined that yellow had the fewest number. Titus, you can go ahead and sit down. What's your favorite color? Yellow's your favorite color. All right. You gave him your favorite color, but that's because they were the fewest. All right, let's just, to speed this along, can I get anyone else like M&Ms? Anyone? Way in the back. Tally? Come on up here. You're going to give Tally. She's a little girl, so you should be really kind to her. Maybe give her the green ones. There's a lot of green ones. I mean, look, she's a little girl. You should be really nice to her and give her the green ones. Tally, wouldn't you love to have the green ones? Sure, she would love to have. Wouldn't you like to give her the green ones? Go ahead, Tally. He's being very generous here. Now Tally's got to figure out how to get all these back, and she's probably gonna have to share those with her brother. And maybe we should give her some more. No, that's probably good. All right, go ahead, sit down. All right, so now we have a couple here. Probably less than half. Would you say less than half of the M&Ms that I told you I gave you? You guess so. Yeah. I think I'll let you have all of these. Actually, here's what I'll do. All the ones that have an M facing up, you can have. But the rest, you just have to leave here. Does that sound like a good deal? No, I'm just kidding. You take the rest. Just take the rest of them. All right, so this is just something, hopefully, maybe to get us to put them in the pocket. I like it. Hopefully they don't melt, but once again, his mother's not here, so it's no big deal. I probably won't have to face her. So it'll be great. Anyway, this is something to illustrate the way that we typically offer ourselves to the Lord. And a lot of times when we offer ourselves to the Lord, we actually are holding something back, right? So a lot of times we'll say, you know what, I'll give God Sunday morning, but I don't know about Sunday night and Wednesday night, and obviously preaching to the choir, as they say here, because you're all here. But a lot of times we have reservations about what we're willing to give to God. And we have these stipulations that we place on our gifts to God. You know, I'll give this to God, or maybe we'll say, I'll do this for God if God will do this for me. Or I will go to this place or talk to that person for God if God will do this for me. But you see, when Hannah lent, what it says there, she lent Samuel to the Lord, that was a done deal. It was over. There was no going back. It was completed. That action was done. She wasn't going to go pick up Samuel from the temple, bring him home, or from the house of the Lord there. She wasn't going to do that. He was there to stay, to minister to the Lord. That was her promise to God, and she was committed to fulfilling that promise. You know, a lot of times we might look at a verse like this and maybe subconsciously we would read it like this. Therefore, also, I have rent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be rent to the Lord. Like we're expecting something in return. However, when Hannah did this, there was no expectation of a return. She was happy to do this. She was happy to give her son. And she didn't expect anything back from the Lord. She didn't expect Samuel back. And as we read, we find that Hannah would bring him gifts year by year. She would bring a coat that she made for him year by year. She was happy that he was there in the house of the Lord, serving the Lord. And that was her commitment. It was a done deal. It was over. Hannah specifically and intentionally pointed him to God, and it worked. He found God. He knew God. He had a life that was characterized by faith. She lent him to the Lord. He was given. Now think about that from, we got plenty of adults in here. Think about that from a parental standpoint. Are we willing to give our children to the Lord in a selfless and sacrificial way? Are we willing to take our hands off and say, you know what? This isn't about me. It's all about God. The reason I'm here is for God's glory. I'm willing to let God take my child and do with this child whatever he wants. Are we willing to do that as parents or as grandparents or as teachers? Are we willing to give that child completely and entirely to the Lord? You know, a lot of times we're okay with giving a little bit. And after all, I still have some left for me. We're okay with giving a little bit, having some stipulation placed on that. But are we willing to give the child, give a son, give a daughter entirely and completely to God for his purposes, for his glory? Also, think about this. From a child's standpoint, from a young person, we got kids, we got teenagers, we got young adults in here. Are you willing to give yourself entirely to the Lord and to not hold back the orange ones or to not give the yellow ones and the green ones to some other selfish purpose or for some other thing? Are you willing to give yourself entirely to the Lord? In Hebrews chapter 11, we find Samuel's name recorded again. His name is listed in the Hall of Faith. He was a person that believed God, and it's evident by looking at his life. So parents, grandparents, teachers, aunts, uncles, pastors, point people, especially young people, intentionally to God, that they might be saved, and that also that they might live for the Lord. Secondly, Samuel was a blessing. Samuel was a blessing. You know, his belief moved him to action, and his service was a blessing. Look at some of these verses that says about Samuel. The end of verse 28 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 28, which we already read, it says, "And he worshipped the Lord there." Jump down to chapter 2, verse 11. "And Elkanah," that's his father, "went to Ramah to his house, and the child Samuel did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest." Jump down to chapter 2, verse 21. Well, let's not skip 18. Verse 18 says, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod." Verse 22, "The Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord." Verse 26, "And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men." Chapter 3, verse 1, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli." We have a theme here. Samuel was ministering to the Lord. We can see definitely by looking at the scope of his life, he believed God. His belief moved him to action, and he served the Lord. You know, sometimes we might think, or maybe we're even bold enough to ask, we might say, what can a child do? Well, that's a bad question. Look at what this child did. Look at what the child, it's emphasized so much that we can't miss it. Samuel was not a teenager. He was not a young man. He was a child. And he was ministering to the Lord in such a way that God was pleased and other people were pleased. They saw his life and said, you know what? That is a tremendous example of a godly young man. And it blessed them. They were encouraged by it. Think about the young people up here this evening singing in the kids' choir. What a blessing that is. It's always a blessing to see those young people get up and sing and to hear them lift their voices to the Lord. It's always a blessing. You know, seeing kids come in, seeing them, just simply seeing them, but then also hearing from them and talking to them, seeing the impact they can have by inviting a friend to a service like this or inviting a friend or a neighbor to a vacation Bible school. Those are ways that a child can minister to the Lord by ministering to other people. You know, what can a child do? Whatever that child gives himself to God for, that child can do. Think about Samuel and all that he did, how he ministered to the Lord. What an encouragement it was to other people. He was a blessing to God and men. Once again, just look at that. The end of chapter 2, verse 26. 1 Samuel 2, verse 26. "And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men." You know, the reason that Samuel was such a shiny example and a testimony to God is that he was living in a household that was not characterized by a love for God and a true and honest and faithful service to God. Eli's sons were wicked. They were wicked people. They were in the house of the priest. They should have been examples, but they took advantage of their position and they caused people to despise the worship of God. So when they contrasted that, the sons of Eli, which were wicked people that took advantage of people and that took advantage of their position, when they contrasted that with Samuel, who ministered to the Lord as a child, who was no doubt humble about his service, who was consistent and faithful in his service, they looked at him, they noticed a difference. You know, this world will notice the difference in a young person that's committed to God. The world will notice that. You see that a lot of times when a Christian young person gets a job out in the secular world, and you know the boss looks at them and they notice their behavior is different, and they notice their patterns are different, and they start asking questions. Well, why don't you say those words? Or why do you behave in this certain way? It points people to the Lord. They notice that difference, and it's a blessing to them. Proverbs 12:2 says, "A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord." You know, we talked about this last week with Daniel, how he gained favor with the prince of the eunuchs. It says of Jesus in Luke chapter 2 that he increased in favor with God and men. They blessed the Lord first, and consequently, all these people were a blessing to other people. He was fruitful. Seek to please God first, and others will naturally benefit. Seek to please God. Make that your life's ambition. I will please God. Start from a child. When is it too early to seek to please God? Never. Seek to please God. As the youngest one in this room, seek to please God. Make that your first priority. Samuel was a blessing. Samuel also was bold. There's the third word, bold. Chapter 3, verse 1. We read this. I'm going to read this verse, and then we'll jump down to verse 4. Chapter 3, verse 1. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Look down to verse 4. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." His boldness was responsive. You know, he obeyed right away. That is perhaps one of the first things a young person is taught. You need to obey right away. Do so happily. Obey right away. His boldness was responsive. He heard the call and he answered. He said, "Here am I." He heard the call and then he ran to the person he thought had called him. He wasn't waiting around. He didn't walk. He quickly went to the person that he believed was calling him. When Eli gave him instructions, he listened to the instruction and he followed that instruction. He was a responsive young person. When he heard, he obeyed. He ran. He obeyed immediately with urgency. There was no delay. He was going to accomplish his duties. But then you know what's also really bold? Verse 10, the end, the last phrase in that verse is a really bold statement. To say to God, "Speak, for thy servant heareth," is a really bold statement. Think about that. You know, there's a lot of people, and I would say especially adults, and I'll include myself in there, that are afraid to say this because of what they might hear. Now think if you say to God, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." What are we essentially doing? We're essentially signing a blank check to God. And that can be a fearful thing. However, we see Samuel here was bold. And I think it goes back to the fact that he believed God and that he had seen God. And no doubt, and just going back to his mother here for a moment, no doubt as his mother Hannah was changing hundreds and hundreds of diapers as he was growing up, said to Samuel, "Samuel, I named you Samuel because that means asked of God. And I prayed to God for you, and God gave me to you. And I promised that if God would do that, I would give you back to him." No doubt he had heard that so many times, so that by the time he was given to the house of the Lord there in Shiloh and be under Eli, no doubt that was ingrained in his mind in such a way that he could not forget it. And he may have laid there in bed. Maybe he wanted to go back home. Maybe he wanted to be with his family, but he just would rehearse. "My name is Samuel, asked of God. God gave me to my mother for a specific purpose. My mother was faithful to God and obedient to God to give me back to him." And he had a developing relationship with God that he could trust God, and he knew God was real, and he could give himself to him. But that statement, it's a bold statement. "Speak, for thy servant heareth." A lot of people would be afraid to say that to the Lord. To give God that opportunity, "Tell me whatever it is that you want me to do, and I will obey." But you know what? That's where we think about what Jesus referred to as that childlike faith. Now, sometimes that's what's necessary, just to have that simple faith. Say, "You know what, God, I believe that you are. I believe that you love me. I believe you have a good purpose for me. Do with my life as you see fit." And Samuel had an eagerness to obey. He wanted to obey. He wasn't just saying it to sound good. He wasn't just saying it to have a powerful testimony. He had an eagerness to obey. And that is bold. You know, in this world that we live in, it's not always easy to say, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." To say to God, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." There's pressures from without. There's pressures from within that can challenge a person to go away from God. Right. However, it takes that boldness that's based on who God is to be able to say, "I will do what you want me to do, regardless of what others are doing." You know, there's really no new thing. Now, think about this, is comparing Samuel and Daniel, how they faced these incredibly different and similar challenges. They faced different challenges, but they were really just rebadged challenges. They were the same challenges that looked different. You know, the Hebrews talks about how Jesus faced the same temptations, the same things that we face. Well, they look different than what we face, but they were the same thing. The same temptations exist, and we can have victory over them. We can have power over them through God. But he said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." His boldness was responsive, and his boldness was also responsible. Now, if you look at the rest of the chapter, and we don't have time to read it, but God would speak to Samuel and give Samuel a very weighty message. A message that Eli and his sons were going to perish. That God was going to take down their house because of the wickedness that Eli had allowed to persist in it. And Samuel heard that, and he handled it carefully, and he handled it honestly. He was a little afraid to say to Eli, "You know, God, last night God spoke a word of judgment against you to me." You know, think about that. You know, to go to someone who had cared for you, who had helped to bring you up, who had helped to teach you and train you, and God gives a dramatic message against that person, it would have been a fearful thing for him to go and say, "Here's what God told me." But he handled it carefully and honestly. When Eli asked for him to give him the word, he did so. He did so honestly. But there's a kind of a subtle thing in there that I think is also important for us to just key in on as we end here this evening. Samuel communicated with God. Let me ask this question. What category of life, if I can ask the question that way, would we put Samuel in during the writing of these chapters? What category of life was he in? He was a child, right? He was communicating with God as a child. As we started, we mentioned it's never too early to start training. But you know what? It's also never too early for a child to develop that relationship with God where there's communication. A child can read the Word of God. A child can listen to messages. A child can respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's never too early. We see from Samuel that there was this example of Samuel communicating with God. Think of the impact of one child that is willing to say, "Tonight, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." What an incredible challenge and example that Samuel was. Are we willing to say, "Speak, for thy servant heareth"? Let's pray.